All right, Luke, thanks for jumping on the show, man. We appreciate your time. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're good. Just for reference for listeners, go ahead and introduce who you are and what you do, because normally we're interviewing bands, so this is a little different. Yeah.
So I'm Luke. I run Mad Vintage. Sell on eBay, my own website, vintage local markets, sometimes hardcore shows. Only done a couple of those, but mainly just selling vintage band shirts. Just kind of selling what I love.
Were you at This Is Hardcore? I seen something set up. Was it This Is Hardcore? Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't set up at it, but I was there, yeah.
Okay. I seen something. You were set up at some festival, but maybe I was lost in a year ago's pictures because I was scrolling through your profile.
Yeah, I'm trying to set up at FYA this year. I was supposed to set up last year, but wanted to see bands instead. Never got to see TUI, so I was like, I'd rather watch TUI than fucking sell
t-shirts.
Make
money. Fuck yeah, dude. That's hilarious.
Pretty much.
Well,
kind of the same for this year, but I'm going to have to get somebody to watch the booth so I can watch Foundation. But
definitely. Well, like how you and I met, I sold you some t-shirts a few years ago, 2 years ago now maybe.
Yeah.
And you've really fucking grown since then. So congratulations on that.
Thank
you.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, ever since I started the website, I think it's just been like
steady climb. So
yeah
super cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jeremy, I remember when he was selling all those t-shirts, but I never really thought that we'd be interviewing you. Because originally when he was like telling me, I'm like, oh, he's just selling them to some dude that collects vintage shirts. Like, I didn't know you were this whole like, you know, independent business type of thing.
Yeah.
Mad Vintage is
blowing. So how long have you been doing this for? When did you start?
Selling specifically band shirts probably about 5 years now, or vintage band shirts for about 5 years now. But I was always like thrifting and going to yard sales and flea markets and that crap ever since I was like 10 years old. And that just kind of escalated once I actually started like, oh, there's actually like a scene behind this and you can make a living off of doing it.
Yeah
That's amazing.
I've run into numerous people that have done it, not as many people with band shirts, but like I have a friend here that runs a store and called the Nostalgia Factory. He sells all types of different shirts and stuff.
Oh, that's actually funny, because a buddy in mine in Asbury Park, New Jersey, has a vintage store called Nostalgia Factory as well.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm sure it's like a sort of semi-common name for a vintage store, but it is a really cool name nonetheless.
Yeah, it's catchy.
And I've had a few friends like on Instagram that have been like major eBay sellers just off thrifting. I mean, like this guy that I know, he used to work at a bank and he was like, I quit my job to do this because he's like, I was making way more doing this and I had all the free time in the world.
Exactly. Work for yourself, work your own hours, go thrift for 5 hours, list on eBay for an hour, and you can sell fucking, I know people that sell like pots and pans and they make a full-time living off of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's money in like literally everything, but you just have to know exactly what in that realm you're looking for. Like you could be in, like you said, pots and pans. I know people that collect cast iron pans, like their records basically. Like
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You just have to be that asshole in the corner just looking up every single thing until you get the knowledge base so you actually know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you're like guarding the thrift store, like my precious over here, like
pushing
off
like
other
Goodwill
people.
There's like Goodwill bins by me and there's literally just like 15-year-old kids that just like sit there all day and just like, A, it's kind of ridiculous sometimes because like you're wasting your whole time there, but at the same time, it's better than working a 9-to-5 job at like a coffee shop. So,
yeah,
teach their own, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I appreciate that freedom. Like, we do this podcast in the back of my record store, and
yeah, that's awesome.
Just having that freedom, being able to do what I want to do, like, I love that. So, anybody that's willing to pursue that or take on that chance, like, I always, you know, big ups to them no matter what they're doing, because it's not always easy.
Definitely not. I mean, I think I work probably more than an average 9-to-5, and I still also go to school, so it's definitely hard to balance it.
Yeah, because you never actually really, like, get to clock out. Like, it's an all-the-time thing, you know? You could be, like, laying in bed on your phone, and then you got sales
answering
going
eBay
through
messages, trying to buy deals through Instagram DMs. It's nonstop, doesn't stop.
So when did you start to like you got a few t-shirts together, or did you sell your own? Like, how did you start with the whole like, oh man, I'm gonna sell. Yeah, I'm gonna sell band T-shirts and resell them.
So I started getting into like, just like average heavy music at the same time as getting into like actual vintage. And then I found like an OG Slayer shirt, not realizing it's like 1988 Rain and Blood or whatever, however old it was at the time when I found it. And I remember like looking it up. So my older brother sold on eBay at that time. I wasn't really into it.
Okay.
And he's like, oh shit, that might be worth money. Look it up. And then lo and behold, it's like $150 shirt. I'm just like, that's it. This is what I need to be doing. That's what I'm looking for. I don't want to sell Looney Tunes shirts. I want to sell Slayer shirts, basically. Yeah, dude.
So Slayer's the inspiration for your independent...
Not necessarily Slayer, but... Yeah,
that's funny, dude. I mean, that's awesome that your older brother was like, yo, look that up.
Pretty much, yeah.
What is... You know, does he still sell shit? Or was that kind of more of a hobby for him?
He did it for, like, a year as, like, a hobby, and then I just kind of, like, took it and ran.
That's cool, man.
So as far as like you said Slayer, I would imagine Metallica was another one because I know people who do collect vintage stuff and Metallica always seems to be like the big one that people are looking for.
Yeah, Metallica is definitely an easy and big seller just because everybody and their mom loves Metallica and like they made, I could only imagine how many shirts they made for like that Guns N' Roses Metallica co-headline tour that was like 91, 92. They had to make like 500,000 t-shirts for that tour because that tour went everywhere.
Right.
And pretty much every tour that they did, they were putting out, like, you know, they had shirts for, like, the L.A. Stadium. They had them for, like, in Detroit. So there was region-specific ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some fanatic out there who's probably trying to hunt them all down.
Exactly, yeah. The completionist. It's, like, kind of like a record completionist that needs all the variants for that tour.
Yeah.
So, I did... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, like, as far as your inventory, do you have, like, a building that you keep all your stuff in, or are you just, like...
Yeah, I have a warehouse here. Yeah, I have a warehouse here in South Carolina where it's... So basically, you first walk in, it's kind of a store where I take appointments at. I got an office, a shipping area, and then a photo studio where in there, in one of the rooms where I take all the photos for the website and eBay. And then the back half is, like, a garage kind of, like, industrial warehouse kind of... pretty much where I just keep like racks and racks of stuff.
Right.
So on your, I know that you have, like you said, and even and when you follow Instagram, you can hit the link tree and you can either go to your website or to eBay. Now, like, if I'm just like some guy looking for, we'll say a Hatebreed t-shirt, would it be
look no further?
But would it be easier to look that up on your website or on the eBay account?
Definitely the website. That's where
you keep
like,
all your inventory.
The better stuff is. Yeah, so everything that's on the website is on eBay, but not everything that's on eBay is on the website.
Okay.
I also have like lower end stuff, like $15, $20 stuff on the eBay, just like filler stuff. Because
mids
pay the bills when it comes to vintage too.
Yeah,
that's what I was going
to
bring up.
To sell like 20 $10 things than it is 20 $300
exactly
t-shirts.
For sure.
So just trying to not have all my eggs in one basket and just keep a broad section of inventory.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was going through some shit just browsing, and I noticed like even some jerseys that you had for sale that like you can go buy the band's brand new one and it's like $60, or you can get like the vintage one from 20 years ago that's honestly better material for a couple dollars more. You know, so
rare,
it's not like you're
not as many as out there,
and it's definitely not like, you know, you got to spend fucking $200 for a t-shirt to have something cool. You know, I think it's it's pretty rad,
and
that
it
you...
also holds its value more too.
Oh, for sure.
Stuff. I mean, way more collectible. Obviously, like a Pain of Truth shirt from like you buy for $40 or whatever is still cool, but like a Hatebreed shirt from whatever Perseverance area that's like $100, that's way cooler.
So, is there like a threshold for a release year of the t-shirt for it to be considered vintage? Like, how far back does it have to go?
Typically, like, vintage is kind of considered 15 to 20 years old.
Okay.
Depends on the person. Some people say 25 years, some people say 20, some people say 15.
Because I know everybody sort of has a different opinion on that. Like, you know, some people could be like, oh, 5 years ago, but to me, I'm like, man, it's gotta, I feel like at least 10 at the bare minimum.
Definitely.
Like,
yeah.
I'm dude that rides in the, like, 20 years, like, because that's like a classic. So I look at it like, if the classic, if your car is 20 years, you can get a classic plate. So I kind of, I guess I always equated it to being around 20 years or more.
That makes sense.
You know,
I think cars are a little bit different.
Oh, for sure. That's just how my,
but that's just how a whole other collectible market, you know? There.
And I think, you know, as collectors, obviously all three of us are, and it doesn't matter if, like, okay, obviously all three of us collect records and have, you know, collect t-shirts, whether it's just to support what our favorite artist or because we have, like, kick-ass looking apparel.
Yeah, shout out to Wax Mage.
You know, for sure, in Gang Time. And, like, it but it doesn't matter what it is, we'd still have, like, collect the same way, whatever it was, you know what I mean? I feel like, because I've always collected dumb shit, and it's like, you go from dumb to, like, oh man, I'm gonna collect this. This stuff's cool, and then now you actually have value in what you collect. Like, I just, you know, I think that's amazing. Like, I started with baseball cards. It's amazing, you know. You, like, that market was just so flooded, and
it's
everybody
kind of is, but it's like
they kind of fix themselves now. But I can't sell a Don Russ box set 1989 for more than like $20 because they printed fucking 10 million of them, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't even know who the fuck that is.
Well, anyway, somebody out there might know.
Right, somebody out there is like, yo, I'll give you $10.
But like, that's what I think it's awesome though that you have, like, gotta have that niche, you know what I mean?
So I think everybody collects their own thing,
right?
Got their own.
And do you just have any type
to, like,
of
make money off it?
Any type of particular stuff, music-wise, that you do look for, or do you just kind of go all across the board? Like, if it's old,
all across the board. Like, yeah, if it's old, I'll get it. If there's anything like vintage band-wise that I think I'll make money on that corresponds with the margins I want to see for it, then I'll definitely buy it. Like, I'll sell a fucking, I don't even know, like a Jay Giles band shirt. Like, it doesn't matter to me. Just because I don't enjoy it, somebody else is going to enjoy it. So I try to have, like, something for everybody.
Yeah,
it'd be popular around here, man.
Yeah. I could sell you five of them easy by the end of today.
Oh, shit.
They are a popular band.
Yeah, it's
here
weird
still
up here.
So as far as, like, looking at the conditions of t-shirts and stuff, because this is the main thing that bugs me with old clothes is, do you have, like, where is your cutoff point where you're like, okay, this is unsellable, it's just too messed up?
Honestly, I don't it depends on what the shirt is. Like say, like, a Nirvana shirt, if it's beat to shit, whatever, like, I'll still sell that fine. But it's, like, kind of different when it comes to, like, hardcore stuff. Like, there's a Marauder Life is Pain shirt on Depop that, if you collect vintage, that's, like, a very high-end shirt. It's, like, a $600 shirt.
Right.
And, like, the seller had it up for $300, but it was, like, super thrashed out, like complete armpit holes and shoulder holes. And I was like, damn, if it was perfect, I'd buy it, because then I'd probably keep it, because I don't have the gray one, I have the black one. But it kind of depends. Like, some shirts, like, the thrashing looks good, but if it's just, like, completely, like, chopped at the neck, maybe something like that I wouldn't sell. But it kind of depends on what the shirt is. Like, hardcore stuff, probably, like, not too beat the shit. But if it's, like, grungy type of stuff, then probably just doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because I know there's, like, we were talking, we have a friend who has a Nirvana t-shirt that's, I don't remember which shirt it was, but I'm sure you would know. It goes for like $5,000, and I was like, damn, dude, I would sell that, like, in a heartbeat. And he's like, no, I'm keeping it. Like, screw that.
Now's probably the time to sell it.
Yeah. Well, I know, with, like, the huge resurgence of things being, you know, vintage stuff being that collectible, like, it's crazy how popular it really is. Like, me?
Definitely.
So, like, the shirt you're wearing, is that black? It was black at one point in time.
Yeah, it's black. Like, it just might be my lighting.
Way torn, or way faded out. So, like,
yeah, it's faded out, more like gray.
I personally love, like, crisp black. Like, this is a brand new t-shirt. I literally just got this in the mail today. So when I look at a t-shirt that's, like, that old, I'm like, man, I might love the shirt, but, like, the discoloration bugs me sometimes.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I love it when a shirt's, like, nice, faded out, sun faded.
That's what I was going to say, is, like, some people, they like that color, and I've even seen...
Some people pay more for that.
Exactly.
Like, if the shirt's, like, super nice fade all around, then...
I've seen some people, even on the opposite, bands have made shirts that already are that color.
Yeah, like there's like the comfort color one that's always like the ash gray kind of. Like, I feel like I see like that a lot.
Yeah, which is bizarre to me because I'm like, well, I feel like you should have to earn that. Like wear that t-shirt out till it gets exactly. a little dark, like, or, you know, buy it when it was beat up or whatever the case may be. But because how is that color going to fade down from there then, you know what I mean?
Shit, probably turn white or something.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it might be weird.
For me, yeah. It's like I sold you an H2O t-shirt, and then I actually ended
up... The H2O Go one?
Yeah. And I ended
Super
up...
Super thrash that one in.
Yeah. But I ended up getting a repop of it, like, from Toby, okay. not that long after. And to me, I was like Ryan's saying, where I traded a thrash for something like super crispy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Just, and now you and can wear just, that one more.
Right, and that's just kind of like how my brain works on that, whereas like all those fucking t-shirts I couldn't get when I was a kid, man, I can get them now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think I just put that one on the site recently. That was one that I kept that one in like my personal collection for a while, but I finally just let it go.
It's,
Yeah, and you said, like, you welded and shit in that shirt, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
like,
dude, I couldn't pretty, believe like, it, dude. Up. Yeah.
That shirt was destroyed, like, holes, stains everywhere.
And that's actually what made me think of the where is your threshold for, like, the cutoff of damage, because I was like, damn, that shirt did have some holes and stuff in it.
That's what...
Yeah, I mean, I know people that just collect thrashed out t-shirts, like, that want the holes, that don't want them repaired. That's why some stuff, like, certain shirts I send off to get repaired by the tailor or something, but some of them I just, like, don't even bother because I know someone's gonna like it more thrashed.
Shit, I never even thought about
having repairs. You can,
that's a thing, like people do that. Like,
there's this one girl who I met on Instagram recently. I sent her like a 90s porno for Pyros, a 90s Metallica, and a 90s Naughty by Nature, and I sent her the blanks, and she just sewed the sleeves back on and the necks back on for like $20 a piece. Like,
nice. I never thought about that.
Man, I gotta check
that out
that Naughty by Nature shirt when we get off of here, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it's a new photo.
Dope.
It just says like Naughty by Nature in white. It has like down with OPP on the back.
Oh, that's sick, dude.
What are some of the like Holy Grail t-shirts that you're currently searching out, whether it's for your store or for yourself?
Store. I want to know what you want.
Probably, I would love like a Leeway Desperate Measures long sleeve.
Leeway
stuff is so hard to find. It was so hard to find before Eddie passed, and now that he passed, it's like nobody wants to sell his stuff.
Oh, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Or they want an arm and a leg for it.
Yeah, there's a store I was at in L.A. that wanted like $1,200 for one of the Desperate Measure long sleeves. I'm like, damn.
Dude, Eddie was not like cool
that'd be
with
like $400.
Yeah.
No, I mean Levi's stuff was already ridiculously expensive before he passed. I paid like $400 for my Desperate Measure short sleeve, and that was like a month before he passed. So that's probably like doubled in value now, which is ridiculous. But just kind of how collectability works. People want something when someone passes. Stupid as that is,
records do the same exact thing.
Shout out to Sullivan Cap. I got a Levi hat from them. But it wasn't overpriced, which I wear all the time, but not today.
Probably like a Marauder. Trying to think. Any Cold as Life stuff is hard to find. I haven't found like any really good Cold as Life shirts.
Like old shit?
Yeah, like any of their old shit.
I have some that are like 15 years old, but they're not.
Even those
are
still
like,
pretty decent.
They're not old.
Yeah, they're 90s shit. It's so hard to find.
Yeah, these were like repopped ones that Cold Cuts did like years ago. And I bought the whole run. So I have like a lot of them. I have like the t-shirt version, the long sleeve, and the hoodie version of.
But like the same print?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing. Same shirt, yeah. I don't think they're really worth anything, though. I had Beast from Hate Inc. trying to buy some of them off me at one point. And I was
Shout out to Beast.
Dude, I want to get rid of them. Like, I would love to hook you up, but...
Shit, if you wear them, don't sell them. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's I wear them all the time, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to have to go rebuy those. And a lot of the times now that I've noticed when they repop them, they put, like, some record label on them. Like, we love Dom from A389, but, like, they... plastered the whole logo down the long sleeve and stuff, and I don't know, I just like the way the old ones look. Like the old ones said Detroit down the sleeve and stuff like that.
Are you both from Detroit or
we're from Michigan.
You're from Michigan too?
Yeah, Alpena.
Yeah, same we're spot. Northeast Michigan. We're sitting across from each other right now. You can't.
Oh, really? I was going to ask if you guys are in the same room. Like, yeah, you can't we're even in the tell with the W audio. That's sick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we have.
I love like old 100 Demons or like Grimlock stuff. Those stuff shelves are hard to find too. Grimlock. I've like never Grimlock, seen an OG Grimlock shirt.
I've only ever seen one person with a Grimlock t-shirt that I can
think of. Dude, I've been listening to Grimlock forever, like 20 years, and I've never seen somebody with a Grimlock shirt, seen, like even when I've they were around. I've seen one
with like the FBL shirt or BFL shirt. It has like a little like NFL rip that here that says BFL. It's super sick.
Yeah, oh, that's dope.
I know what you're talking about. But that's probably a few hundred at least if you can find them.
Definitely super rare. Yeah, OG Crush stuff would be sick.
What about as far as what you've sold? What is the most expensive t-shirt that you've sold, or some of them?
I sold a Nirvana heart-shaped box, which is like the all-over print one where it just says Nirvana, has like the heart here. I sold that one for, I think, $2,200.
Nice.
That was the all-over print?
Yeah, that was the most expensive one I sold. I sold a 1 of 12 maximum penalty jersey on the champion blank for $1,200, which is kind of ridiculous. That was like kind of like a fluke sale. It was like two people like going back and forth penalty, who really wanted it. Yeah, there's two people, like big collectors, that were like bugging me for it, and like they got into like a bidding war in the DMs. Kind of like I didn't want to sell it. I bought it for myself, and they went crazy for it.
Like fuck it.
Like yeah, some like Swedish collector listed it on eBay for like $80, and I was like, bought it instantly, and they both bugged me for it for like over a year until I sold it to one of them.
Yeah, it's nice when you can find them little things that flew under the radar. I've had plenty of records on eBay that I've done that with, where I'm like, oh, somebody's gonna totally outbid me on this, and then it just doesn't get bid on, or you catch it for super cheap, or the bid ends at like, you know, it'll be a Monday, like when everybody's at work or something, and they forget about it.
Or they listed it as like a weird title, because the way eBay works, the first like five words are the main keywords that pop up. So if it's like punk band, metalcore, bulldoze LP, then people get fucked with that, because like it doesn't pop up in their search.
Yeah, right.
That's what happened to me. Like one of my like favorite come ups, I got a demo era Marauder shirt on eBay for $60 on auction. And the way the guy listed it was, ha ha ha, I knew your metalcore band, vintage Marauder t-shirt. So nobody saw it.
Right.
And it's like, got it for $60. And if I didn't, or if they listed it normally, it probably would have went for like $600 or some stupid amount.
Yeah, people would have bid all over it.
Yeah.
Or they would have completely missed it. You never know, man. I've been on both sides of that. I only have like a few shirts. I have a really old Typo Negative Blue Grape company shirt.
Oh, hell yeah. I know that's... Do you know what graphic, which one it is?
I'm trying to think of the, it'll come to me randomly, but it's pretty green, I can tell you that, but that ain't going to help you because most of their shirts are.
I was going to say, all of them are green with like an orange font or something.
I got to, for some reason, I'm blanking on what the fuck it says on the back, but something
probably
about,
like a $200 shirt at least. It is. It's a blue grape typo.
$350 the last time I looked at it.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then I have an old Nevermore shirt that was from the original tour that goes for quite a bit too, but I don't ever plan on selling them. I mean, I like them, I wear them, so.
Definitely.
Unfortunately, they're XLs, and I typically wear a large, so I don't wear them that often. But
could get them hemmed on the sides. I see people do that all the time with vintage stuff.
Now that I know that you can do that, I never thought about that shit. Like to me, I'm like, that's for suits and stuff.
You know that
like,
vest,
yeah, exactly. Shirt.
That Cold as Life vest I wear in the winter. I got that brought in on the sides by a Polish lady out on Long Rapids Road.
Oh, that's right. You told me about that with your one jacket.
Yeah. She'll bring them in. And it was, like, super cheap. I'll let you know after the program.
Nice. So, we were talking a little bit about Hardlore before we started here. How did you get involved in sponsoring that?
So, I was just casually listening to it, and I've been trying to figure out more ways just to get my name out there, just in different avenues that other people, like me, aren't doing, so...
Right.
Try to expand a little bit. I think I just hit a bow on an Instagram. I was just like, hey, what do I gotta do to sponsor Hardlore? And just went from there.
Nice.
Because I think they've seemed to, from what I've seen in pictures, both be t-shirt collectors as well.
Yeah, that's another reason why, because it kind of goes with the show. It's not like out of the blue, like they aren't into the themselves. Like there's shirts that I've sold to Colin that he had like 10 years ago. He's like, dude, I regret selling this 1992 Deicide shirt. Thank you for finding it. Like I haven't had it this in 10 years. So they're definitely both big collectors.
Yeah, I noticed Bowl is like a big Metallica t-shirt guy, obviously.
Yeah, Colin has an insane like typo collection. He probably has like $5,000 in typo shirts.
Damn.
I don't know if it's exactly that, but I know he has every single one.
Got
and every single
typo
is at
man.
Least 200. Definitely. I mean, he got them all when they were like $30 on Depop or eBay. Like he's had them like for like years and years.
Right. Got in when
he was saying before Peter died, just like nobody wanted OG typo stuff, and then Peter died, just slowly went up.
I'm surprised it slowly went up. Like, that seems like something to me that would be, like, overnight. It's just fucking bizarre. Because I, like, for records, like, I remember when MF Doom died. Some of the stuff that was, like, let's say $30 to $40 the day before, by the time that was announced, I was watching eBay just out of curiosity because I had a bunch of duplicates and stuff. And I had like a 7-inch box set, tape box set, all this stuff that I was getting for super cheap years before that. And people are selling these for like $400 or $500. Like I sold 5 MF Doom cassette tapes for $500. And I was like, fuck, these are cassette tapes. Are you serious? Like I never expected that would happen. I mean, it was a box set. It was the Special Herbs box set, but still, like, I think I paid $30 or $40 for it when I bought it. I just never thought that tapes
that
would
be up there,
too.
That shit happened with Prince, too. He died overnight. And it was like, and people were going for it.
Prince, I could see, though, because he was like a worldwide icon. I mean, not that MF Doom wasn't, but now he's so much more popular.
And
like,
it'll adjust itself a little
there's
bit.
There's people like, you know, junior high kids and high school kids that come into the record store that are looking for MF Doom, and I'm like, damn, like, you guys are catching on finally. Like, fucking awesome, but it's just sad that he had to die for that to happen.
So yeah, I noticed, that happens with everybody.
I noticed you have a Minor Threat back there. I mentioned it earlier. So let's talk about the records you have back there, man.
Yeah, that's just... So all those are just, like, ones I have in front. Like, if I take those down, they're just normal records. So I got into, like, record collecting at one. I got into T-shirts, and it just kind of, like... being a completionist, it went out of hand, just trying to get everything, first press everything. And I was just like, all right, I gotta stop doing this. So now I just try to collect records I can get signed by bands, because I mean, makes it more personal and more of like a collector standpoint.
Plus,
just kind
trying
of, it's
to
just
hunt down
to me.
First presses of certain things, you will drive yourself insane.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I was like looking for like the Negative Approach 7-inch first press for like two years. And
oh,
I was like, all
God.
Right, fuck this. I was like, all right, fuck this. Like, I don't want to pay $600 for a record that, like, I can spin the repress of it.
I was going
to
say, dude.
It's like
probably sounds better.
Exactly. It's just like, it's not really worth it sometimes, in my opinion.
I have a friend that owns a store in Kalamazoo, and he had a second pressing of the Linda Blair 7-inch, and I think that sold for, like, $750 or something like that.
Jeez,
and that was just a couple months ago.
Crazy.
It is wild, like, for a 7-inch, too. Like, but honestly, though, the most valuable records that I've seen usually are 45s because they're, like, one-off singles. That,
probably more
like,
rare and whatnot.
Yeah, and it's
I feel
a
like
lot
it's
of
easier to, like, beat
happen.
Up 7-inches, too.
To beat them up?
Like, I feel like they're, like, almost worse quality. It's, like,
no,
for some reason, I feel like...
No, they're actually more durable, but the issue with it is they were used...
People treated them like...
Exactly.
Shit.
People used and abused them so badly, and a lot of times they were being used for sampling or DJing or shit like that, or in a jukebox that had a poor quality needle.
The 45 cut's usually a little hotter, too.
Yeah, so you see them beat up.
Just so you know.
But they're actually more durable, like, honestly. Huh. You wouldn't think, but they are.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like whenever I've had, like, 45s, I feel like I always, like, fuck them up more than my record somehow.
I mean, it also depends on how it was made. I've seen some really cheaply made ones, but for the most part, like, say, we'll take Motown, because they were a huge company for 45s. Like, a lot of those, if you put it up against, like, a RCA Orange Label Dynaflex record, like, it is a night and day difference, because that Dynaflex record will flap around like it's nothing, where the 45's, like, rigid and solid.
Yeah.
45.
You run a record store, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going.
45s, you're good. Is like, that's like, as far as, I don't like using the word audiophile, but like in that sense of things, that's like the true way to listen to records, because that's how you get the best sound out of them.
Okay.
In some cases, I would say. I've heard that go back and forth both ways, but what were you going to ask about the record store?
I was going to ask, what are some of like, the best records you've had in the store?
Oh, I don't know. We're not in an area that we get like a lot of really cool punk and hardcore things, because there wasn't that scene here, but we have.
Do you get any like walk-in collections and stuff?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That Coltrane Blue Note was fucking, was pretty fucking gnarly. That old stereo press that
the 80s one
that the radio dude bought.
Oh, yeah. There was that. We've come across like, okay, so as far as jazz, like there's a group called Teddy Edwards Quartet that was out in the 60s. We have hundreds and hundreds of dollar records that are just tossed around wherever, like bargain bin type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I pulled this record out one time, and it was on Contemporary Records, which is a pretty well-known jazz label. But this had only been done once in, like, 1964 or 3, somewhere around there. It's been sitting in our dollar bin for years, and it's a $450 record.
And oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah, so, like, we pulled it out, and then I think we ended up selling it for, like, $350. The guy kind of bargained with us on it, but... I mean,
on like your wall or whatnot, like a high-end record, someone walked in and bought it?
Yeah, like we'll have stuff. We have a wall in the store where there's high-end stuff and a couple shelves, and then sometimes we'll just put things behind the counter that we're like, they're for sale, but we're not trying to like push them, because I'm like, I kind of want to keep this, but if somebody's going to give me, you know, X amount of dollars for it, then I'll let it go.
Yeah, you put the I don't want to sell price on it, and then somebody's like, I'll take it.
That's what I do with some stuff on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. Like, there's always there's a walking away price for sure on every item.
Everything out of price.
Yeah. But whether or not that price is going to be reasonable for you might be, you know, fucking debatable.
Totally.
But we've had original like Lords of Acid come in like a group of Grandma records, like in between Rod Stewart and Neil Diamond and shit like that. Trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, we've had some cool shit as far as original pressings go, but we just don't see a lot of punk and hardcore, really, is the main thing. But we've seen
that
original Nirvanas
and,
you know, things like that.
I was at a flea market going through, not flea market, a garage sale going through just like a random bin, and it was like Sonny and Cher records, and then there was a Stooges test press in the bin that I got from the guy.
Damn.
I sold it for way too cheap. I was like 14 years old when I found it, so I think I sold it for like $300, but I just remember that as
so
like sticking
crazy
out to me.
Sonny and
like
Cher and then a test
random
press.
Shit.
A
yeah,
fucking
it was
Stooges
test press.
Damn.
I sold it to a record store by me back in New Jersey a while ago. I'm sure he sold it for way more. I have no idea what that's even worth, but...
Yeah, sometimes when you let things go cheap, you're like, I don't even want to see what it's worth now, because you're like,
exactly.
I just
brought it to the guy. I'm just like, I don't fucking know what it's worth, whatever. I think he gave me like 300 store credit or something, whatever it was.
So aside from your t-shirt stuff, you said like you're going to school. What are you... going to school for? Is it, are you going in like to a career or?
No, I'm just going for business administration, so that's
just
what
to help
I'm
you?
Majoring in.
Yeah,
just as something to have, just as like a backup and just to get the degree. I mean, no one could take it away from me if I don't use it, so
fucking
it's just
A,
something to like, just something to have.
Yeah, right. I have a couple degrees that I don't use. And I will say,
I mean, I doubt I'll use it, but
business classes do help though. Because if you're going into a business administration,
what do you? I didn't know you had a degrees in anything.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a master's automotive repair degree. It's not a master's doctorate degree. I have a CNC degree, and I have a degree in business management.
So okay.
I guess business management would be the only one that I actually use. But. Repairing cars, knowing how to do it is super useful. And I could go anywhere and get a CNC job here if I wanted to, but I don't want to.
How long have you had the record store for?
I've been here for a little over 3 years, but the record store itself has been here for 5 this year.
Dope.
And like my friend, well, it's actually Jeremy knew him before I did. And I just started like hanging out here and selling stuff out of here. And, like, I'm a pretty meticulous as far as organization and things go. So I started like organizing 45s, all the records, suggesting this, that, and the other. And then I was bringing in a bunch of people who were, you know, buying stuff. And then it just kind of became a partnership after that. And then I started doing all like the new ordering, and I handle record store day and, you know, all the social media and everything like that. And then Steve, my partner, he handles most of like the used side of things.
Oh yeah.
And we do like vintage toys and stuff too, but I feel also, like we've depleted most of the good toy collections out of here.
Yeah, there's some sick Godzilla stuff up here, but it's like kind of goes with the whole like it's easier to sell 20 little Godzillas than $1,000 fucking big Godzilla, you know?
We did sell a
few. Do you mainly do like sealed toys?
That's pretty cool.
No, we'll do anything. Like, as long as it's cool and old. Like, yeah. I mean, it could be Garfield. It could be like, you know, Beetle Bailey. Like, I don't know. You know, shit. It could be whatever. Like, as long as it's cool and old, it doesn't have to be musical per se. But if there's a collectible market to it, toy wise, we'll do it. But that's Steve. I don't really know
fuck all about toys either.
He's good with that stuff. I have no idea. I don't know that stuff. Like,
I see that stuff all the time. I just never know anything about it.
That's a whole nother side to things. Like, it's like T-shirts. Like, you know, there's certain brands that are. People are seeking out, like, they want a T-shirt on this brand or done by,
they
want
to have a blue grip tag instead of something else or something.
Yeah, all the tag like thing is toys. Crazy to me how, like, that all pops off like that. Like, dude, wrong tag. It's the same shirt. Nope, wrong tag.
Yep.
Like, holy it's crazy. Fuck, dude, you guys are nuts, you know?
And it could be, like, a $500 hardcore, difference in a T-shirt.
Yeah, dude, too. Over the tag. But, definitely. Shit, man. You got to get those tags, dude. Make that money.
Got to tell if it's an original by the tag and whatnot.
Craziness.
So you said you've been doing this about 5 years, if I remember right, earlier, yeah?
Yeah.
When did you really notice that, like, the price of things was really taking off? Was it a pandemic thing, or was it happening beforehand?
So prices definitely shot up during the pandemic. Just, like, everything across the board shot up. Definitely during the pandemic, and it kind of went down a little bit, and now it's kind of at like a say like a middle point between where it was during the pandemic. But it's just like just so many people have gotten into it, just being like generic vintage, not even band stuff. It's just vintage clothing is just like the most popular it's just like ever been, just like secondhand apparel just across the board.
I've noticed that, like, we were talking like old like 2000 era Nike,
dude,
like windbreakers
are like $500.
Yeah, JNCOs, like
vintage
dude.
JNCO?
Oh my
Which
god,
is ridiculous.
I'm embarrassed to say I used to wear them, and now they're like, it's like holy shit.
But you can buy
even
Empires
even corn
that
shirts
are, like
are
the
big
same,
now.
Same thing as JNCOs almost. They just have a little bit.
What shirts were you saying?
Not as big of pockets. Corn
like
shirts.
Corn and Limp Bizkit
oh,
shirts.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'd sell
yeah,
those for
sure.
Like $40-$50 2-3 years ago, and now some of those are like $200 shirts now.
Insane. Which is
it's like so crazy.
But I feel like Limp Bizkit's been gone enough to where he's cool again.
Yeah.
And
same with JNCO, probably. They were in a brand, and then they started popping off again.
I'm not saying I'm saying he's cool. I'm saying he's been gone for enough time for people that like weren't around during that to appreciate
right,
it
right.
now. To
in
be
a different
like, oh,
light,
this is cool.
For sure, for sure. Have you ever seen the Blood for Blood Fuck Fred Durst T-shirt?
No. When was that made?
Shit, man. Probably 20 years ago, but Rob...
Shit.
Yeah, Rob made a run of them, like, kind of at the height of that shit. And it's just a straight-up, like, Blood for Blood. It's got the skull, and then on the back in white letters, fuck Fred Durst. And he, like, sold... He did an interview with him talking about it where he's like, I sold more of that fucking T-shirt than any other Blood for Blood T-shirt.
I can see that.
Shit.
Just based
and he's like, I need to fucking thank him, man. Like, you know? But if you could get your hands on one of those, I bet that would sell pretty fucking good. I know one person that has one.
I've actually never seen that either. But you were about to say, like, brands. Like, JNCO was one of them. I've even
JNCO,
noticed...
South Pole, all that
South
shit.
South Pole, really? I didn't think about that.
Yeah, South Pole... Shit,
because they stopped making that shit after a while, right? Like they don't produce
yeah,
it
I
anymore.
Think so.
The
like Ocean
went
Pacific,
under.
Is that still one?
I feel like Ocean Pacific's more like surfwear kind of. I feel like that's like was probably popular 5-ish years ago. Now it's kind of more like the Y2K kind of style. Like Affliction sells now, which is ridiculous.
Oh God, yeah.
tap out t-shirts are like $35 easy. When I couldn't, I like shit, like I would throw away that like I wouldn't want near me. Like, I wouldn't sell, but now it's like what the kids want. It's crazy.
Yeah, those kids, man, those kids are crazy.
I guess everybody has their own style.
No, like, for sure.
Polo is another one that I was gonna say, like the old like multicolor panel hats and stuff that they had. I've seen some of those go for a wild amount.
OG Polo, OG Tommy, like that shit's really expensive. Yeah. Like the good pieces, like the South Beach jackets and stuff.
I have this big puffy Tommy Hilfiger jacket. I don't know when it was made. It's got to be late 90s, early 2000s, but it's reversible. Like it's kind of like a blue varsity jacket on one side, and when you turn it inside out, it's brown, but it's old Tommy Hilfiger shit. I wonder if that's worth anything. I hardly ever wear it because it's like a puffer jacket, and I don't really like how like, I'm not puffy a puffer. It is. Yeah, I'm not a
fucking puffer.
I don't want to be the Stay Puff Marshmallow guy walking around. Like,
yeah, dude, like... get zapped by Venkman and shit.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson be chasing you.
So you said you wanted to start doing some more festivals and stuff where you set up, like, I know there's like vintage, just trade expos, basically.
Those like, I always do, like Thrift Con's like the biggest secondhand vintage market. Like they go like just city to city. I've done all of those ones this year, but I definitely want to just sell at more like hardcore shows, mainly just because like somebody there is watching Hardlore. They know who I am. So
yeah, exactly.
Just be cool to put the name to the face to some of those people, you know?
Definitely.
Plus, if you're heavily stocked on, like, hardcore and punk rock style t-shirts, like, you know for a fact there's going to be collectors there.
Definitely. I mean, somebody's going to want a 90s Biohazard or a 2008 TUI shirt or some shit.
Have you set up at any festivals as far as hardcore goes currently or no?
I've sold at like local shows in like Tom's River, New Jersey, like local hardcore shows, and like nothing like big, like this is hardcore or anything like that. But like I said earlier, I'm trying to hit up Bob that see if I can set it up at FYA this year, because I was supposed to last year but just didn't. So
I think Tied Down would be a good one for you too.
Yeah, I thought about Tied Down too, but I went to Tied Down this year. I just like didn't have the resources to bring with me like a rack and table and all that bullshit. Yeah. So I just flew, I made the decision like the day before. I was like, oh shit, let's go to Tied Down.
Damn, dude, I missed you. I was there, but I didn't see you.
Yeah, I looked for you, but like I don't think I remembered or like knew what you looked like. So I was like,
could have been.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, I'm the dude in camo shorts. You're like, oh, okay, that really fucking narrows it down.
I didn't do that.
I'm in camo cargo shorts, a striped t-shirt, and a snapback. Every other person there.
Good luck.
I got a mustache.
Yep. But anyway, yeah, dude. So you also said you were you're up in Jersey and you moved down to the Carolinas.
Charleston.
Was that for school?
My like entire family was moving here, so I just like and then went to school here.
I was just wondering, just because, like we were talking earlier, and you were in Jersey, and hardcore shows were 5 minutes away, and now you're out in the boonies like the rest of us.
Yeah, right when I moved, the shows at Salty's Beach Bar in New Jersey, which was 12 minutes from my house, started popping off, so now it's just like, All Out War and Mortician's playing there on a Tuesday, Demise and fucking Everybody Gets Hurt's playing there on a Wednesday, I'm just like, fuck, 12 minutes from my house, all the good shows start going again.
We've never gotten to enjoy that luxury.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Jersey was great. Hour from Philly, hour to New York, 30 minutes to Asbury, literally a show any day of the week.
Yeah, you're kind of like at a main like focal point in between like all the, you know, major areas that are hosting that stuff.
Yeah, I could go to Brooklyn Monarch on a Saturday, then go to First Unitarian Church on a Sunday. So nice.
Sick, dude.
Yeah, we've had a severe lack of shows up here for quite a while now, just because of how far north we are. Like, there's not really any reason to come up here if you're not going to the UP or Canada or something, so it's hard.
How far are you from Canada?
Can you get to Canada from here? Like,
you can get to Canada in, what, well, we're four and a half hours from Detroit, five and a half.
So still far, not like 30 minutes away.
No, fuck no. Because if we went north, it would take longer to go north than it would go go south, I think, to get to the border. Yeah. Well, maybe not.
It depends on how you're traveling.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, yeah, we're going 23, then we're going boat, but then you could take 75. Yeah, there's a million different ways.
If you had a boat, you could hit Canada pretty quick from here. Like, you just cut across Lake Huron, and you're there. Not that it's a small lake, but you'll get there quicker than driving, I would imagine.
The last time I was in Canada was, like, 18 years ago, and I went the northern way, and I couldn't even remember how long it took.
Yeah, I've crossed to Windsor one time, like across the Ambassador, and then pretty much turned right around because I wasn't supposed to be going over there. But I've never actually like gone and hung out in Canada.
Yeah, the whole 9/11 kind of fucked it all up.
That and I just, I mean, what the fuck am I going to do in Canada that I can't do here, really? Like, I mean, there's not like a whole lot of difference.
Oh, back then there was a difference, but we'll talk about that off camera.
Age, yeah,
it wasn't even that. It wasn't even that.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. You got it. You got it.
I got you.
So anyway, yeah, dude.
So what are like, as far as music goes, what's some of the stuff that you're into? You seem to be pretty into hardcore type of things.
Yeah, mainly hardcore. Shit, like what I'm listening to like right now a lot of.
Yeah.
I haven't even really been listening to a lot of hardcore, honestly. I've been listening to a lot of, like, The Carpenters.
Those are the answers we wanted anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of Tidal Fight and Super Heaven, honestly.
Tidal Fight, really dope.
Really into that. What else? I don't know. What's my most recent Spotify listen? I've been listening to a lot of Warning and 40 Watt Sun.
40 Watt Sun, yeah.
Yeah, nothing too crazy. Listening to a lot of the Sundays, Jesus and Mary Chain, but listen to a lot of that shit.
Oh,
I just
cool.
get like burnt out when I just like only listen to fucking like
no,
Hate Breed and Mariah every day.
You gotta mix
speaking
it up,
of the
man.
Choir, man. Yeah. We're all about it mixing it up. Like, we are into pretty much everything except polka and mariachi music.
Yeah, what about you guys? Mexican, you been listening to anything new recently?
Yeah, I'm like, but basically, I'm on like, listening to all these 7 inches, so like Wreckage's new 7-inch is really fucking good. That's like a hardcore band. Self in Hell, yeah. Bayway out of Jersey, been listening to a lot lately.
They've blown up since I moved. It's kind of crazy. Dude, I think they played over like Everybody Gets Hurt or something at Salty's, which
fucking
is crazy to
sick.
Me.
And then of course, the bands that we've interviewed lately, like Some Days Are Darker. You know, then what? Like Nas just repressed. It Was Written, so that's kind of been spinning.
Yeah,
I mean, we're
as
all
far
over
as
the
new
place.
Stuff goes, yeah, I've been there's a band called Neon Nightmare that just released a song that is very much like Typo Negative.
Okay,
that is fucking awesome. I don't know like who's in the band yet or whatever, and if for some reason, some way they're listening to us, hit us up because I would love to interview that band. But nobody knows who the hell they are yet because they only put out one single so far, and it was like a couple days ago.
What's it called again?
Neon Nightmare.
I meant to check that out.
It's on 20 bucks spin label. I can't remember what the name of the song was. It has Lost in the
title.
Yeah,
Laceration. That's on 20 bucks spin. They're like death metal band.
Death metal band, yeah.
I've been jamming those dudes. I was jamming them a lot more last week, but
yeah. The new Benny the Butcher that just came out, Summertime Butch, I've been listening to that a bunch. The new Common and Pete Rock.
That's
and
on my
like
list.
Stuff like that, you know. I don't know, all over the place. We interviewed a Hobbit metal band recently. I was listening to that shit,
which is surprisingly sick as fuck.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be cheesy.
Yeah. Hobbit
but
metal,
it's really cool.
Dude.
What makes it Hobbit?
Because he's like the lyrical
content's all
okay.
Like,
so it's kind of like Viking metal, kind of, but Hobbit metal.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. But real black.
I guess it'd be cooler if he was a midget doing it. Like,
that like, would be fucked up.
Dressed up and everything.
Actual Hobbit.
Yeah. Big ass feet.
Oh.
No, we're always creepy. Like looking for new music, not just to interview, but just kind of to like reignite that feeling of like, oh my God, this band is amazing. Like, I'm always looking for that. So I'm always shopping every genre.
Skinhead, who played This Is Hardcore, they blew me away. They were sick. I never listened to them or like saw them live, but my buddy Vic is in that band, and I was like talking to him. I was like, oh shit, you guys are playing, right? And they blew me away. So I've been listening to that record that came out last year by them.
at Tied Down, do you remember seeing Trail of Lies?
Yeah.
Okay, so before the album they put out before that,
Did they play the pre-show or did they play the actual fest?
They played the actual fest.
Okay.
And their other album was good. I liked it, but this new one is so fucking... It almost honestly reminds me of a little bit of, like, Tyrant, dude. Like, it's really hard. It's fucking crazy. It's
funny. We were just talking about
that. That's what Tyrant. I mean, in t-shirts and shit. But, yeah, that I've been listening to that band a lot, too. And it's that's pretty in your face and shit. It got, like, a lot harder.
The Contention is another one behind you. Yeah.
Basically, dude, you know how it is. If it's on Days, if it's on, like, Triple B, the shit's, like, so good. Top Floor Tape, shout out to Jimmy. Anything on there? Dead Hang, Vigilante, all those bands. Sorry, I'm forgetting, like, a million of them.
Did you check out the new Nails EP?
We were just talking about that, too.
Before you got on.
No, not yet. I got a... You like it? It's sick?
Yeah, I think it was really
good. I'm going to have to add it to my list to check out.
I don't think it's any of, like, the original members other than the singer, but it's sick. I think I'm excited to see them on the tour they're going on.
Right, new album comes out next... What's the date today? It's next week.
Yeah, I think it comes out soon, yeah.
It's the 23rd, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Uno Lady from Wax Mage, shout out to her. I got a couple 45s from her in the mail. Oh, and one of them was an actual Wax Mage, which is kind of why I got it. And super interesting music. Hopefully we'll have her on. She's like hauntingly... I don't know, dude. She's so crazy what she does with her voice. Yeah. It's hard to describe. You have
she's
to hear
a one-woman band. It's really cool.
But only vocal.
Hardcore? Or what type of like music is
no,
it?
It's, no, it I is. Don't, it's like orchestral,
I think they ghostly, call it,
fucking weird. I don't know,
I think
dude.
They just call it alternative because
like,
it's hard to
It's all like a cappella, but...
Yeah.
That's sick.
But she's like a ghost, and it's all ghostly layered. Choir, I think, is what they call it.
There you go.
Is
what yeah, her, that's how she describes
Instagram
it.
Instagram says. But yeah, it's... Yeah. It's nothing like hardcore or anything like that. Like I said, like we get into everything. I mean, I've been on a Simon and Garfunkel kick lately for the last like, few days too. So,
yeah, I've like only listened to the Carpenters the past like week.
that's pretty hardcore too.
That
yeah,
answers
hard as fuck.
That pretty much answers our usual end of episode
yeah,
question.
Yeah, like what some we always ask, what is something you'd listen to that people wouldn't expect? And you're wearing a Pain of Truth hat and a Hatebreed t-shirt, and we're talking about
the Carpenters. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Perfect.
Love the Carpenters.
Who doesn't, man?
The End of the World, bro? Come on. That shit's hard.
Rainy Days and Mondays.
I'm always... Exactly. 80s synth pop is another big thing for me that I'm always listening to that I really like.
Yeah? What type of bands? Like Duran Duran?
Duran Duran.
What type of bands?
Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears is dope.
Pet Shop Boys, The Human League, all that stuff. I love
is there Erasure like that type of music too?
A little bit, yeah.
Kind of more on the Echo and the Bunny Man side of things.
Yeah,
I like that.
Like,
I love that shit.
Slightly more gothic.
Yeah.
Like The Replacements and shit.
Love them. We did a whole podcast episode on that way back in the day.
That was our third
episode.
Third episode.
Just about The Replacements.
The third episode that we ever did. Please don't.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's bad.
That was like,
but
we
it's fun,
just
you know?
Started. But yeah, I mean, it's fun, but I'm sure if I went back and listened to it, I'd be like, oh my God.
No, I'm not going to do it. You feel free, sir, and you can let us know what you think.
Yeah, you go on
it. I'll give you feedback on it.
I'm sure it's cringe,
dude. I was still fucking with the audio and getting everything right. I probably got a bunch
of
mouth
clicks. How long have you been doing the pop for?
2 years?
A little over 2 years now.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this is episode 106, I think, or 105 maybe. I'm pretty sure it's 106.
Dope.
But yeah, I mean, we didn't really...
We've been audio up until the 100th episode.
Yeah.
And now we're...
No, we did.
Oh, so you just started doing the cameras and stuff?
Yep.
Oh, sick.
Kind of crossed that threshold.
Hopefully mine isn't too bad. I know it's a little grainy.
Oh, you look fine,
but...
dude.
Nah, you're fine. We've had worse.
The lighting's a little...
Yeah. Overhead lighting's hard to, like, get any... It's hard to fix. Like, there's nothing you can really do about it.
Yeah, you're going to get that glare either way.
Yeah. But one thing I wanted to ask, like, before we wrap shit up here, because I keep staring out all your records back there. What's one of the most prized autographed possessions that you have back there? Because I can't see what's what.
Probably my record signed by Eddie, honestly. Like, those mean a lot to me because I got them signed when he played at This Is Hardcore, I think, 2 years ago. So I have all my Leeway records signed by him.
Awesome.
And probably, like, my Fugazi or Minor Threat stuff, because I have, like, I have all the Minor Threat records signed by the entire band. So those are super sick to me.
That's just everybody. Sick.
Yeah, I had to drive to Ian's house to get him to sign them, because I got everybody else before him.
You just go bang on his door and shit?
No, I was emailing him back and forth for a couple of months, and then right, he's just like, I don't want you to drive 6 hours to get me to, like, write my name. So I eventually was driving past there, driving to South Carolina, so then stopped there and had him sign them.
That's sick, dude. So say, like, I don't want you to drive, but if you're in the neighborhood, fuck it.
Swing exactly. By. Yeah.
That's really awesome. Cool.
His autograph's so funny. He doesn't even sign. All of the ones he signed, he just writes, "Hi, Luke. Hello, Luke. How are you doing, Luke?" Like, they're so funny.
But that's what's cool, because they're so personal, you know?
Exactly. Like, those I'll never fuck sell those.
Dude.
Like,
ever.
Those are so fucking sick.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I mean, that's what I love about hardcore, man, is everybody's just fucking normal and down to earth for the most part.
Just,
and if they're
people,
not,
man,
they're fucking assholes.
Well, I mean, he's like a literal superstar within his genre, but he's still like a down to earth, real cool, level headed guy. Like, he never let that go to his head.
Can you still get out of step and they pay the postage?
I don't even know. Probably.
Because I know they. I mean, I wonder if they. I'm gonna look into that. Because they used to
suck now, because postage
said,
keeps going.
That's
up.
What I mean. And they, I remember
media mail is like $5.
Yeah, here in an interview where he was like, "We lost so much money, but we never changed it."
Yeah, if a record's over 1 pound, it's $5.38 right now.
Yeah, it's probably like for under 1 pound, it's like $4.86 or something like that.
Uncle Sam, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 years ago, or a couple years ago, it was $3.19 for under a pound.
I was just bitching about that the other day.
Yeah.
Because I keep having to, like, on Discogs and eBay, I keep having to raise the shipping rates up. Because I always try to go, like, a dollar over what it actually costs to pad for, like, using record mailers as well. Because I got to buy those in bulk to get them. And they're usually, like, at least a dollar a piece, even if you're buying a couple hundred of them. So the shit adds up. I mean, you can write it off, but, like, it helps to get that extra dollar back. But every time they raise it, I'm like, fuck, now I got to up this to $6.
Extra 20 cents every...
Yeah.
It's and when you're selling 10 or something, it's like, oh, there's $2. I mean, could have saved that. It just all adds up.
Yeah, like on record store day, like after that, I'll put everything online, and it's a fucking bidding frenzy for like 3 days, and it just goes
nuts.
Yeah,
that shit is
by
like
the
fucking
end of,
piranhas, dude.
By the end of
does
those
record store
3 days,
go crazy by you, or record store day?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like
we're
a huge
not...
line and stuff?
Huge for us, because we're not a big city. Mm-hmm. Like, we have, I think our population's like maybe...
It's like 30,000 in the whole county, so maybe like 10 to 12 in the city.
I want to say Alpena's like 10 to 12,000.
Yeah.
So, when I first started it, I had a lineup of like 6 people. And I was like, oh, cool, you know? I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I'm getting the word out. It's the first time that it's ever been done here, so I'm just trying to get people more informed. I had like 40, 50 records, and it sold out immediately. Like, it was 10 minutes and done.
Yeah, it was real. Was that the one where everybody just was,
people were grabbing stuff off the shelf.
It was
like,
all like,
from,
they didn't even know what they were grabbing.
Like, some girl ended up with a record she didn't even want, just bought it just because, and I'm like, fuck.
There's, like people grabbing from, like, over a shelf and not even seeing what it is, just, like, grabbing it.
There was shoulders, like,
crazy.
People elbowing each other and shit. Yeah. So then the next year I, like, revamped it and did it a different way to where it was less hectic. Like, everybody who is in line, and I've seen some other stores do this, but, like, we pass out numbers, like, Secretary of State style, like... So, you know, we'll call you in, have you go pick out your stuff, can't buy duplicates, that sort of thing, to avoid people flipping things. But now, like, I've in like 2 years, I've gone from 6 people in line to usually like 50 before
we open. I mean, that's still a lot for opening.
Yeah, there's people that drive from all over to get here because it's like
smaller, but it keeps getting bigger every year, so they're losing their shot every time. Like, I mean, we've had people drive up from Ohio and stuff, and I'm like, you realize you passed like 100 stores on your way here, right? And they're like, yeah, but I got a better chance.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get to where they don't, because just there's so many people coming from all of northeastern Michigan, because we're the only store up here that does it. So, like, you get people from every surrounding area coming in.
It's the only record store up here, period, really.
Yeah. But I was going to say, like, on eBay, after I put everything out there the following day and stuff, by the end of the week, that week, I've usually paid $400 in shipping just alone.
Shit.
Like, because just how much shipping costs. Like, it's
really my shipping bill is ridiculous. I probably have to spend like $4,000 a month just alone on shipping. It's ridiculous. So I'm probably shipping like 25 to 50 things a day, so it fucking adds up quick.
Damn, dude.
Does eBay have...
Better than not selling anything.
Yeah. Hey, I can't complain. I'll be bitching while packaging stuff, and I'll, like, check myself and, like,
why am I complaining? Don't complain, for sure, right?
Yeah, I've been in those scenarios, too, where you're, like, checking yourself, and you're like, wait a minute.
This is my business.
Like, I'm doing this. Exactly. Like, it's an expense. Yeah. It's all part of business. You got to spend money to make money.
Exactly.
Does eBay have, I don't know if this is different for t-shirts. What are the fees for t-shirts on eBay? Do you know off the top of your head?
I think just like used clothing alone is 12%. 12 or 10.
That's roughly about the same for records. I want to say records is 13 or 12 like 13. And a half.
Might as well like be that. 13.
Because I don't, t-shirts don't count as media mail, do they? It's got to be like first class.
Just first class, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Oh, I just mailed out a t-shirt, and it had to be first class, remember?
Yep. Because when that awful new Metallica album came out, they they sent us a bunch of promo material, like guitar picks, posters. Yeah. They sent me, like, two big-ass rolls of caution tape that had Metallica on it. And once the day was over and there was a bunch of shit left over, I just threw it all
straight
online.
To eBay.
Yeah, so I was selling the 3 packs of picks for like $40 a piece because that's what they were going for.
Oh, yeah.
But I tried shipping a media mail, and like 2 days later, they all came back to me in a big-ass bundle. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is totally like constitutes media mail. But so then I had to eat all that shipping cost and then reship them out in envelopes.
You didn't get the money back for it?
I tried, but the post office was being a pain about it.
Yeah, they're fucking like, oh, it's your fault. You're dumbass. Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. It ended up being like maybe like $40 shipping, which wasn't the end of the world. But still, I was like, I didn't know. Like,
so what media is only defined by, it has to be like a CD, a cassette, an LP,
it's like paper,
a video,
or a book, or like,
a book,
magazine.
Okay.
But the paper is weird. It can't have like promotion or anything in it. So I've sold like Hit Parader magazine on eBay, and I've gotten those sent back to me for not being like qualifying for media mail. I'm like, it's fucking paper.
And it makes no sense. Is like the one form of shipping that's always subject to inspection no matter what. So they can just pull it. Like if they're like, oh, this looks semi-suspicious, they can open it up and look at it.
Fucking like, ripping up your old Hit Paraders and shit, not treating it with respect.
I don't think other forms of mail have that same legality to it. Like, I don't think you can just tear open any first class package unless it like sent off, you know, some type
like
of
a
trigger.
Flag or something. Yeah, I'm not sure. I've definitely had stuff searched for like no reason, where it's just like a box of t-shirts. I mean, it could be like maybe from like the sender. Like, I don't really know how that works.
I would imagine though that it's like, oh, it's fine print. You're using our service, so we're allowed to go through your shit whenever we want.
Yeah.
I've definitely got some like sketchy boxes from like Mexico or something that like looks like a fucking brick. Where I'm just like, where the box comes like a completely different box, where it's like they put the box that got sent in inside another box and send it to you, which is like ridiculous.
Just to make it look like better.
Exactly. Yeah. So like your shirts aren't falling out and shit.
Right.
I had a guy one time send me, I bought one record and he sent it to me. It was an eBay seller. And when I got it, I swear it was like, the package was this wide by like this. It was like 3 feet by 3 feet of like thick styrofoam just duct taped all in a circle. And I was like, oh my God, like I'd never seen one that bad. Like I've seen some people use some weird boxes, but like two big chunks of styrofoam and you just duct tape the ever living shit out of it. It was so hard to get into. Like the package was crumbling. Like thankfully the record was fine.
It's hilarious.
But yeah. It was like when the guy brought it in, I was like, what the hell is that? Like that's not a record. Like the male guy's like, I don't know. Like he was just as confused as I was.
I've definitely gotten some weird boxes. I've gotten like chip boxes, like you buy from like Walmart or something with like shirts in it. I've gotten like poster tubes with fucking shirts stuffed into them.
That's cool.
That's weird because a poster tube oftentimes costs more to ship than it would a t-shirt bag.
I've gotten like birthday bags that like people just like fold over and then tape over and then throw a label on. I've gotten some weird ones.
That's crazy.
The birthday bag's funny. I have like a taped up Meyer bag or something. Yeah, I can see that too. But all right, before we wrap things up, man, do you have anything you want to plug or get off your chest or anything like that?
Instagram is Mad Vintage, MADD_vintage. Website is just madvintage.com. Nothing in between there.
Which will all be in the episode description. So check it out.
Thank you guys.
Check out the site. Buy some stuff if you find what you like.
Yeah, dude.
Hit me up on Instagram if you got any shit to sell. It could be a Pain of Truth shirt from 2 years ago or a fucking 80s Meyer Third shirt. I'd pretty much buy anything. Right on. So if you got anything to sell, hit me up on there. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for having me on here.
Hey man, thanks for jumping
absolutely.
On.
Yeah, this is dope. A lot of fun.
And on a side note, like when I sold you my stuff, it was like it really helped me out at a time in need, you know, so I appreciate you for that.
That's how it goes a lot of the times where people is like, all right, I've had these for so long, and I mean I need $1,000. Maybe they're worth $1,500, but you can sell them all. I mean, it might take me 3 months to even see that money. So, I mean, sometimes,
and I was shocked at the time that I was like, holy shit, somebody's going to pay this for my old fucking E-Town t-shirt.
Yeah, I remember you being mad excited.
I still have your E-Town shirt. I'm pretty sure I still have an E-Town shirt I got from you.
That's good. Yeah. The one that's like, if you're not with us, you're against us. That was really exactly. Fresh. I took care of that one.
I still have that one.
It's good shit, man. Well, it's nice having you on, man, and I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, man.
It's cool
to
see
you
doing well, and we'll be in touch with you soon, man. We appreciate you jumping on.
I'll send you a photo of that Naughty by Nature shirt
right
later.
Right on, dude. Peace out, brother.
Have a good one, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.